Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And you know there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you to this episode tonight, I am still excited because we are still in the book of Proverbs. And you know Proverbs is full of wisdom, and that is what we are seeking, to understand that wherewithal, how we may apply this in our lives, this side of eternity, to be equipped as the saints should be. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder is every 10 minutes or so, we'll have what I consider a commercial break, which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. The host has set up a chat room for that purpose. Now, before we get started, as I always do, thank you those who are taking part in sharing with me feedback on this show, the comments and the advice that you're giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using, and I appreciate it so very much. Now, as our theme song for the show always suggests, the question for the hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? God said through King Solomon, there is nothing better for a man than he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy the good in his labor. This also I say that it was from the hand of God. The promise is that what God has given you, if you receive it correctly, it's going to be a joy. This is taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 24. Again, God said through King Solomon, be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. That's in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. My brothers and sisters, that you want health, that's your promise. You do not be wise in your own eyes. You fear God and you depart from evil. God said again through King David, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed unto the according to thy word. That's taken from Psalms 119, verse 9. And again, the promise is that your ways will be clean if you take heed to God's holy word, and that is Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, The question for this hour again is, are you standing on these promises? Now, before we get started, I want to let you know, as I always do, to prompt you and to rehearse and remind you that the Bible is in code, meaning it's written in mysteries and secrets and parables and prophecies and proverbs, paradoxes and riddles and in symbols. And the only way to break the code is to study and learning. And that's why we are here this evening, to study and learn together. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's get started. Let's go to study. Turn your Bible sources with me to Hebrews, or to Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 23. And you know, we're, as I mentioned before in this study, most of these Bible verses are the exact as the instruction suggests. And of course, the suggestion for this particular instruction is, listen, and this is what I want you to keep in mind and pay attention to. The fear of the Lord tends to life. And that's taken from Proverbs chapter 19, verse 23. And it's almost verbatim. It says, the fear of the Lord tends to life. And he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. That is critical, my precious brothers and sisters. In fact, we're going to go and amplify that with King David teaching to Israel, telling them in Psalms 23, verse 1 through 6, exactly what the fear of the Lord and life makes happen because. And this is what, if you turn with me to Psalms 23, listen, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Okay, fear of the Lord is part of the shepherding that the Lord is. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Listen, my brothers and sisters, the fear of the Lord is included in this. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My precious brothers and sisters, this is what King Solomon is referring back to, what his father, King David, taught him about the Lord being his shepherd. The fear of the Lord is critical, and it will give you exactly the life that Psalms 23 has identified. Now, we're going to compare and agree. Turn your Bible sources with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 12 through 16 in Philippians chapter 2 and listen to how Paul teaches it to the Philippians. This is what Paul says. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own soul's salvation with fear and trembling. That's fear of the Lord, my precious brothers and sisters, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. And you can believe it or not believe it, that God is the one that deals out this gift of fear of the Lord. Everyone does not have that scruple. And I suggest that you, if you're not fearing the Lord God Almighty, that you ask the Lord God to help you understand why it is so significant. Because, of course, as Solomon put it, it tends to life. Verse 14 continues as Paul writes, do all things without murmuring and disputations, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the mind of a crooked and perverse, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. holding forth the word of life. That's the key. The fear of the Lord tends to life. Okay, my brothers and sisters, we've approached our first break. Let's take our first break, and then we will complete this instruction.
It definitely started sophomore year of high school. Fear and anxiety, panic attack, depression, like you name it, I had it. I was still trying to go to school, but like every day it was just, I couldn't take it. I would try to, you know, get out of class as much as I can because of panic attacks. So then finally, you know, I was able to ask my mom if I could be homeschooled, and then she said yeah. So now that I'm homeschooled, I kind of like shielded myself in the house. I basically drowned myself out with video games so that I didn't have to think about my problems anymore. So I was playing video games from like sun up till whenever, and then as I'm trying to go to sleep, I can't really sleep. So I would worry myself all night for no reason, and then I would end up like throwing up. It was like I was in a, you know, imprisoned in my own head, and I couldn't get out of it because I couldn't even leave my house. You know, I couldn't even go a block away from my house without panic attacks and trying to get the driver to turn around and bring me back home. Like I just couldn't leave, and then so it got so bad where I just finally went back to my mom and told her I couldn't take it anymore. And then she said, you got two options. You can either give it to God and let him take care of it, or you can go to the doctors and we'll get you on medication. And I didn't want to get on medication, so I said if I didn't have to, I might as well try the other option. That's what I did. I started to read as, you know, read the word as much as I could. And when I came to church, I started to really try to pay attention instead of just sitting there. And it was like pastor was speaking to me, you know, like all the time. It was like his word was for me. That would draw me to come back more, which, you know, led me to meet Pastor Austin. And he encouraged me to come to youth, which I did. So now coming to youth and experiencing, like, you know, seeing kids my age, the way how they're having fun and they aren't worrying about anything and how, like, I'm basically supposed to be living. So that was encouraging, and it all started to change when I got involved as much as I can. Even though I didn't want to, you know, because obviously the enemy tried to keep me away from it, I would push myself. I would push myself to get involved where I could be around the right people, and I felt good. Once you came and did it, you felt good. You felt accomplished, and so it made me even feel better. And so getting involved, volunteering at any event I could, women's conference, I've, you know, volunteered in youth as much, now Rev Night as much as I can, really helped me in that process. So back then it felt like I was had a heaviness over me that I couldn't shake. It felt like I was in darkness every day, all day, until, you know, I was able to actually come to God, give it all to him, and it was like a light switch to where now I'm not in this dark place anymore. I'm like headed toward a light that's never ending, you know, it's always shining on you. So I just want to thank Pastor David, Pastor Nicole, Pastor Austin, and the whole Faith Church community for helping me through the time of need and being so caring and loving when I needed them to be.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us complete this first instruction. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. Listen, this is what I want you to get out of this, that the fear of God will keep you from the disobedience that will take your spiritual life. And we are so pleased that Jesus Christ came and gave us the avenue of repentance and faithfulness to help strive with us while we're being confronted in this life with everything that is going to disrupt us from even considering God as anything we should be concerned with. My precious brothers and sisters, that's what I want you to keep in mind and get out of this particular instruction. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to Proverbs 20. Turn back with me, if you will, to Proverbs 20, and we're going to look at instruction or verse 1. And, of course, the instruction is identical to the verse for the most part. So the instruction is, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And the verse says this, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And we know that alcohol is not an inhibitor, but it is an uninhibitor. And what it does, it dulls the senses and it makes one think that what is going on is correct. And we know that that is not the case. So in Genesis chapter 9, what I want you to do is turn your Bible sources with me, and we're going to get an example of how this can cause you to error. Genesis chapter 9, verse 20 through 25. Listen to what happened to Canaan because of his drunken father. This is what the Bible says. And Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew that his younger son had done what he had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. So you can see that what wine did, it caused Noah to be unclothed, and his rage because of his being unclothed and seen by his son caused a curse upon Ham, or upon Canaan, the son of Ham. So that's what wine will do for you, or what strong drink will do for you. And let's now turn to Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to see how it compares and agrees with what Paul taught the Galatians in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. Listen to what Paul said. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And so we can see that drunkenness is one of the items that has been identified as a working of the flesh that is unacceptable before God. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, my precious brothers and sisters. Liquor or strong drink, it inhibits the mind and causes delirium, which goes out of control, it'll go into rage. And so that's what I want you to understand from this, that Paul or Solomon is telling us that as a result of too much wine or too much of a strong drink or anything that is considered to stimulate you to get you in trouble. Okay, let's go back to Proverbs. We're going to look at chapter 20 again. And one of the verses, number 2, and again, they are similar, the instruction and the verse. And so this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the verse to you. The fear of a king is as the roaring of a lion. This is part of the fear of the Lord, my brothers and sisters. And because of the lack of the fear of the Lord, which causes us to not do things that we shouldn't be doing, we unleash the punishment, and that is the roar of the lion. And this is what Psalms 95 tells us about that. It gives us a scenario, and we're going to look and see what King David told Israel concerning this in Psalms 95, verse 6 through 11. Listen to how King David shared this with Israel. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord of our Maker, meaning the King, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Listen, my brothers and sisters, if we go against the king today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, because he will roar and come back and punish you. Listen what verse 9 says. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work, for 40 long years I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do error in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swore in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. You can see what happens when you go against the king. And that is what Solomon is telling us. And now let's go to our New Testament compliment. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew. Chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, and I see we're at our second break. Let's take our second break, and then we'll return with the instruction.
What do you do when your battle chooses you? What do you do when something shows up on your doorstep that you did not directly cause, choose, or definitely anticipate?
Life is not always easy. In fact, some of you today, you're here and you're going through the toughest season of your life. There will be seasons where we will suffer. There will be seasons of real pain. And the question is, how will you respond in those moments?
Life is hard sometimes. Easy, it's not an option. But it's worth fighting. It's worth believing. It's worth giving yourself a chance. It's worth mustering yourself up, standing up inside yourself. It's worth fighting relentlessly, never giving up. It's worth it. You can do it. You can do it.
There's problems that we go through that cause stress, worry, anxiety, and fear, but you might be in the battle of your life. I want to encourage you. It's not about what's happening around you. It's always about what's happening inside of you.
Just because you feel afraid doesn't mean you have to be afraid. Just because you feel discouraged doesn't mean you have to be discouraged. Just because you have fear doesn't mean fear has to have you.
The sentence out of your mouth is a story that you are putting out. I'm not going to make it. I quit. Let's get a divorce. Business is never coming back. We've lost too many people. I've made too many mistakes. I'm a failure. Nobody can help me. I've done too many bad things. I don't know what's coming out of your mouth, but it's a death sentence.
And as you continue to confess it, and as you continue to declare it, well, don't be surprised when it becomes true in your life. We have to make sure that whenever I feel, when I think a death sentence, I must speak a life sentence. Oh, I'm feeling the sentence of death.
I'm feeling the thoughts of anxiety. I'm feeling the thoughts that I'm done. I feel like I've been used and it hurts and it's difficult. But when that happens, I start speaking out a life sentence. No, I'm just going to keep showing up. No, I'm going to get back up. The righteous man, he falls 7 times, but he gets back up.
Never give up. Never give in. Because skill can't get you past certain things. Quickness, agility can't get you. You got to have mental toughness. Pain ain't permanent. Your pain ain't permanent. You can get through this. You're bigger than your pain. You're better than that.
Come on, you need to remember, this is not the first time you cried. This is not the first time you were short of breath. This is not the first time you didn't see a way clear. This is not the first time you were hurt. This is not the first time your heart was broken. This is not the first time you didn't have enough money. This is not the first diagnosis that came up from behind.
Now I'm going to live to tell the story. This too shall pass. I will remain. I'm not going to quit. Every one of my burdens, there's a blessing on the inside of it. If you don't quit, you will win, baby.
You're going to work through this. You're going to get up. You're going to get dressed. You're going to get out. And you're going to do what you've been called to do. You're going to be what you called to be. And you're going to prove to everybody that tried to break you, everybody that tried to stop you, everybody that tried to kill your dream, you're going to prove all of them wrong.
Just keep coming back. You got nothing left to give, just show back up. Half of life, man, is just showing up.
And I'm telling you right now, don't give up. I'm telling you right now, don't give in. Get through it. And if you can get through it, if you can work through your pain, I'm guaranteeing you, on the other side is a reward. Pain is not permanent. Pain is temporary.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, listen. We're looking at the fear of a king as the roaring of a lion. And here's the comparison in the New Testament that supports this. It's chapter 5 of Matthew, and it's verse 20 through 26. Listen to what Jesus says. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. My brothers and sisters, he's the king, and we must obey what he says. And if not, this is the result it will bring. Verse 21, you have heard that it was said by them of old time that thou shalt kill, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. Be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thy adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou shalt pay, and thou shalt be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. My brothers and sisters, this parable telling us about the king, if you do not go according to his ordinances, his dictates, then the roaring of this king will discipline you, and this will be the case. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. Be careful whom you provoke to anger, right, wrong, or indifferent. You will be subject to their anger. My brothers and sisters, I'm talking about God. Right, wrong, or indifferent. You don't have to understand when God says, thou shalt not, don't do it, or you will be subjected to the rage of God or the wrath of God. That's what I'm trying to share in this instance. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me, if you will, your Testaments, your Bible sources to Proverbs chapter 20. We're going to look at two verses, verse 10 and verse 23. And this time, even though, again, it's going to be verbatim, they're going to substantiate one another, verse 10 and 23. And this is the instruction. Diver weights and measures are an abomination to God. My brothers and sisters, this is so critical to know and understand. And with it, we got to be very careful because we're living in a world that subjects us to weights and measures that are different. And that's an abomination of God, Solomon said to Israel. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 10, he says, divers weights and divers measures, both of them are alike, and they are an abomination to the Lord. In verse 23, he substantiates that by saying, diver weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good. So we're told that God disdains that falsity, that appearance of fairness, but it is not. It's deception. And we have to be very careful with that. And we know that in Leviticus, we were told, or Israel was told flat out, not to partake in such ventures. Listen to what Leviticus chapter 19. Turn your sources with me to Leviticus chapter 19. We're going to look at verse 1, 2, and verse 9 through 13, and listen that this was compulsory. Israel had no choice. Verse 19, or chapter 19 says of Leviticus, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of Israel, of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, is holy. And verse 19 starts about this false weight and measure. This is an example. And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of the field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. There is where it's legitimate that you leave some, no false weights and no false measures. And still again, verse 11 says, ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. There's the deception that comes in with wheeling and dealing in the marketplace. And ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shall thou profane the name of the Lord God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. Again, this is more specific, but it's still referring to deception involving money, weights and measures. Verse 13 or 14 says, thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear the Lord God. I am the Lord. You should not trick. And that's what we sometimes get exposed to in the marketplace. In verse 13, that's how it concludes. Now let's go to Romans, and we're going to see how Paul said it to the Romans. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 12. And this is how Paul gave reference to the same. Paul says to the Romans in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, he says, now I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And deception is not a part of that. That good and perfect will of God is not have differences in weights and measures. That's something that is an abomination to God. Now, verse 13 through 17 gives more details. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. rejoice with them that do rejoice. And I see we're at the next break. Let's go ahead and take that break, and then we'll continue with this discussion.
When I was at the University of Florida, for every home game, we would get in the bus at our hotel, and we would drive right by the stadium, and we would stop at what's called the Gator Walk. In every game I played there, there was probably 20 to 40,000 fans at this Gator Walk, ready to greet us as we get off the bus. I would see all these people. I got to tell you, there were a lot of voices that started to hit me. One of the first voices that instantly hit me was pride and arrogance, because I would look out and I would see thousands of jerseys with my number on it. I would look out and I would see Bible verses that they were wearing because I wore them. And so for a second you thought, dang, I'm something. They're here for me. This is pretty cool. I must be somebody. There's a picture that I stumbled across, and it's one of Time's 100 most influential images of all time. And it's a picture of this young girl. She's on her way from her village to a feeding center not far away. And she's so malnourished, and she's moving so slow that this vulture is waiting to attack. So the young man that took this picture, I think there was probably something in his heart that he wanted to do good. He wasn't sure. So he captured this picture, and he just waited, and then the vulture got closer. So he kind of shooed the vulture off, and then he walked away, and the vulture would come right back. And he was told, because of some of the sicknesses in the areas, don't touch anybody, don't do anything. And so he didn't. He didn't. He did nothing. Because apparently the cost was too much. So he left. He went back. The New York Times published this photo in 1993. In 94, he won the Pulitzer Prize for this photo. 4 months after this, he chose to end his life. You see, every single one of us, we have a chance to be successful in life. And you know what? I hope you are. I really do. I hope you're successful. There's nothing wrong with being successful. But success is just about you. But significance is about other people. You see, that man that took that picture, he had success. That's one of the greatest honors a photographer could ever have. But obviously it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. So what's going to be enough for you? You see, success is great. You can do a lot of things with it, but it's not going to be fulfilling. And you can never forget that sense of urgency, that it's not about your timeline, it's about their timeline. While you might have 30, 40, 50 years, they have days, minutes, moments. She had moments, but it wasn't worth it to go pick her up. It wasn't worth it to give her a hug. It wasn't worth it to tell her about the gospel. Yeah, I won a Pulitzer Prize, but what does it matter? What does it matter? It doesn't. And I think the greatest tragedy in life is we're going to look back one day and say, I was successful in things that don't matter. I want you to be successful, but more than anything, I want you to be significant. And when you live for Jesus and you love people, I believe you're going to have a life of significance.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's continue with this particular instruction. It is diver weights and measures are an abomination to God. And we've gone over what Solomon told Israel and also what Leviticus, the Levitical priesthood, mandated that Israel should abide by. And now we're looking at comparing and agreeing in Romans chapter 12. This is what Paul is telling Romans about the same, and we were in verses 9 through 13, comparing and agreeing. And this is what verse 9 says. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. And honoring, performing one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. So we can see through these attributes, it's a part of being fair with weights and measures, and you will be okay with God. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. That Jesus taught to do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. And by what measure ye meet, it is measured to you again. So if you cheat, more than likely you will be cheated. And that's something that we should take into consideration, that what we reap, we sow, my brothers and sisters. And so we should be fair and honest in all that we do, especially with those of like precious faith. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Let's go back to Proverbs. We're going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 20 again, verse 17. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 17. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind, and it's almost identical to the verse that I'm going to read also. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. And the scripture, verse 17, says, the bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. And that is telling us that deception, because you've gotten over on someone, you may think that you're slick and you have some pleasure in that. But when the deception is uncovered, then you are abominable, if you will. You are the low of the low. And that's what Solomon is telling Israel. And 1 Kings gives a good example of how that happens. And this is where I want you to turn your sources to 1 Kings chapter 13. And we're going to look at verse 15 through 24. 1 Kings chapter 15. Or chapter 13, 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 15 through 24. Listen to how deception, you know, it brought favor, and then it was caught up in disfavor. Listen to what happened in this instance. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go in by the way that thou camest. So one was trying to trick the other, and the one that was doing the trickery was feeling good about himself. Listen to what he said. So he said unto him, I am a prophet also, as thou art. And then an angel came unto me and spake the words of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thy house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So you see, but he felt good about the lie. So he went back with him and did eat bread, and in his house did drink water. So he felt good about the lie. Now look what happened. Verse 20 says, and it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. This is where his mouth was filled with gravel. And he cried out unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and has not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but came back and has eaten bread and drank water in this place of which the Lord thy God told thee not to eat bread or to drink water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone a little ways, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast into the way, and the ass stood by it, and the lion. And I see where, again, we need to do our last break, and after we do the last break, we'll finish with the lesson.
Many Christian students ask me the question, how can you know God's will for your life? Many non-Christian students ask the same question. To know and to follow the will of God has been the heart's desire of people down through the ages. David said, teach me to do thy will. The Bible teaches that God has a plan for every life, and that if we live in constant fellowship with him, he will direct us and lead us into the fulfillment of this plan. God does not reveal his will through fortune tellers or soothsayers or workers of hocus pocus. His will is made known to those who have trusted Christ for salvation. He shares this secret only with those who are redeemed and transformed by Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that there are several ways outlined in Scripture through which we can discern and know the will of God. First, one of the ways we can discover the will of God is from the Bible. A will is null and void if it is not in writing. That is what the word testament means. You've often wondered what Old Testament and New Testament mean. The word testament actually means will. In the New Testament, we have a new will that God has put in writing. It has endured for centuries. It has never been revoked. It is still valid today. If you want to know the will of God, set aside a special time every day to read the Bible. Read it prayerfully. Read it regularly. Read it and meditate on it, and it will guide you into his blessed will. God never leads contrary to the written word. Secondly, the will of God is revealed through the Holy Spirit using the Scriptures. When Christ ascended into glory, he sent the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, to live in the hearts of his disciples. Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Thirdly, the will of God can be revealed through a transformed conscience. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, says Paul. When one is converted to Jesus Christ, his conscience becomes resensitized by the Holy Spirit. This is what the Bible means when it says, holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. Fourthly, the will of God is revealed through circumstances. The Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So many of us ask God to change the circumstances to suit our own desires, rather than conforming our wills to his will. God has a plan for the life of every Christian. Every circumstance, every turning of destiny is for your good. It is working together for completeness. His plan for you is being perfected. All things are working together for your good and for his glory. Don't let circumstances distress you. Rather, look for the will of God to be revealed in and through them. There may be distress, sickness, bereavement, or unhappiness in your life. Look in that bereavement. Look in that sickness. Look in that persecution and tribulation for the will of God. Because God is building and perfecting and patterning your life after that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus had to suffer. So God allows his children to suffer that they might come to the full maturity in Christ. Fifthly, the will of God is revealed through prayer. Prayer puts us in the proper attitude to discern and to know the will of God. It is important for you to get away with God in prayer every day. It is there, in the quiet place, away from the din and confusion of the world, that God makes his will known. We are admonished to seek out the will of God. In Ephesians 5:17 we read, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." There are hundreds listening to my voice at this moment who are outside the will of God. You were made for fellowship with God. God has a wonderful blueprint for your life, and he's patiently waiting to put it into operation. But something has gone wrong. Your air castles have crumpled before your eyes. Your hopes have been shattered. You do not know God's plan as yet because you are unwilling to submit to him. You have not heeded the command of Christ to repent of your sins. In his eyes, you're perishing. But it is not God's will that any should perish. It is not God's will that you should live under the crushing weight of sin. It is not God's will that you suffer defeat after defeat. Christ says, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." Dare to open the door of your heart and let God perform that miracle of patterning your life according to the blueprint which was drawn in heaven long ago.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're going to complete this instruction where, you know, we're told that bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth is full with gravel. And we know that we already read the proverb itself, and what we were into was an example of how that is, that took place with these two prophets when they met and one tricked the other. And this is the completion of the thought on what happened to the one that was tricked. And then the gravel entered into the mouth of him that tricked him. And behold, men passed by. This is verse 25 of 1 Kings chapter 13. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass. And they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt, meaning he deceived the man that whose carcass was laying in the byway. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, "It is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the word had delivered him unto the lion, which has torn him and slain him according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto me." And he spake to his son, saying, "Saddle me the ass." And they saddled it. And he went and found the carcass in the way, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. And the lion had not eaten the carcass, nor torn the ass. And the prophet took up the carcass of the man that laid it upon his ass and brought it back. And the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. So the thing is that in the end, the old prophet mourned and was disciplined because he tricked by deceit the young prophet and made the young prophet disobey God's command. Now let's go to the book of Galatians. Or Ecclesiastes, and the book of Galatians, and we're going to see, comparing and agree, how this was put to the Galatians by Paul, identifying the same. Turn with me to Galatians, and we're going to look at Galatians chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6, and we're going to read verse 7 through 10 in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 10, and listen to what Paul told the Galatians concerning the same. Paul says, "Be not deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall also he reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap the Spirit for everlasting life. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we do not faint. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are the household of the faith. So what Paul is telling the Galatians, that we should not deceive. And being in deception, we will reap what we sow. And that is what, this is what I am trying to get through in this particular instruction, that what you do in the dark will eventually come out into the light, and you will suffer loss because of it. So don't think that you are so clever that you got away with your deceit. You will pay for it in the end, more especially with God. Now let's go back. We're going to look at our last instruction for this evening. Turn with me back to Proverbs chapter 20. We're going to look at verse 18. And in the verse is going to be exactly what the instruction is telling us. The instruction says, every purpose is established by counsel. That is critical, my brothers and sisters, that you should be aware of taking advice. And that is the reason why basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E, is the advice and the counsel we should be taking into consideration to have a fruitful life this side of eternity with God and with our fellow man. Every purpose is established by counsel. And this is what Solomon says in chapter 20, verse 18, that every purpose is established by counsel. And with good advice, you know, you should make war. And that means that you should make sure that you are following the instructions and you will be successful. Now, this is how Ecclesiastes puts it. Solomon again gives more clarification. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 through 8, listen to what he says. To everything there is a season, and to every purpose under the heavens, and a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to reap, weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. What Solomon is saying is there is a time for every purpose up under the sun. And counsel, this is good counsel. Now let's go to Colossians, and we're going to compare and agree and see how Paul gave instructions to the Colossians, which relate to the same. Every purpose is established by counsel. And this is chapter 3 of Colossians. We're going to look at verse 16 and 17 to begin with. Listen to this good counsel. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in thought, word, and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. This is good counsel, my brothers and sisters. And verse 12 through 15 completes the thought. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, and the holy and beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness, and mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. This is good counsel, my brothers and sisters, for every purpose up under the sun. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually, that the Holy Ghost is our strategist and our strategic counselor who guides us in all truth and teaches us all things about God according to Jesus Christ. That is the lesson for this evening. And the host and I would like to thank you for your participation. God bless you and good night.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I hope you are blessed by our program. Please join us every Monday evening at 8 Eastern Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Good night.